Good afternoon. Baruch was organizing the shiur and asked me to wait a few minutes before we make a few more copies of the sheet. So with your permission, I'm very hesitant about it, but I would like to address the crisis a little, the Madoff crisis, fraud. I saw a suggestion to change the name of the scheme from Ponzi scheme to Madoff scheme. I would like to remind you that a few months ago, one of the lectures I gave here, we analyzed the story of Yosef Moker Shabbat. And one of the ideas in the story, which I suggested, are how do we relate to money? And that the guy in that story, who takes all his money, he puts it into one diamond, which he puts in his hat, he views money not to be used, not to utilize good purposes, but money for the sake of money. And Yosef Moker Shabbat is the opposite. He has money and he spends it for spiritual causes, for philanthropy, etc., etc. Now, I would say that Madoff's fraud was all based upon one assumption, which turned out true for many years, because he understood, capitalism. The people who gave him their money will never ask it back for it. They have no plans to use it. I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. I won't explain it now. Okay, I'll explain to you after shiur, okay, if you want. But I'll just say that his fraud is based on one assumption. The people who get a report that their money is making a very nice dividend in the stock market, they won't ask for their money. I mean, they'll leave it by him. And it worked well until this crisis when people lost money not by him, because you can't lose money which doesn't exist. Meaning, he kept giving good reports. He kept giving good reports now, because you have to realize that if he would give a report that he's losing money, people would ask for their money. So he kept reporting that he's successful, and they lost to other brokers who played the real market, and then they asked for their money. And I would say to a philanthropist that I would say the lesson of these days is not you have less money, so give less money to tzedakah, but realize that saving your money in the market won't give you more money, so this is the time to donate. Okay. Now, I don't wait for Baruch, because I don't know when he'll come. So I'll explain what I would like to address at this year. We're approaching Hanukkah, and I would like to analyze together what I call Masechet Hanukkah, the tractate of Hanukkah. Well, first I have to explain that that exists. I mean, everybody knows that in the Mishnah, such a tractate does not exist. And it's a well-known fact that there's no organized discussion, no systematic presentation of the laws of Hanukkah within the Mishnah. And there are many things written about it. What's behind that? Why is it so? I will just point out briefly, because I do not want to address that question, that if you learn the Talmudic literature, you know about all the laws of Hanukkah, but they're not mentioned together. When you learn Masechet Baba Kama, you know that you light a Ner Chanukah outside of your, on the street, that you know. When you learn Masechet Megillah, you know from the Mishnayot that you publicly give Kriyat HaTorah on Chanukah. When you learn Masechet Moed Katan, you know that in Chanukah there's no mourning, no respect for Tanit. When you learn Tosefta Sukkah, you know that it's Hallel on Chanukah. You know all the laws of Hanukkah appear in the Mishnah, but still they're not presented systematically, organized together as a topic. Well, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, in Masechet Hanukkah, Tractate Hanukkah, in three pages of the Talmud, from Masechet Shabbat, Chaf Aleph to Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalet, I would say, the Gemara presents systematically the topic of Hanukkah, which may justify to call it Masechet, because Masechet means an organized topic. Topic which is put together. And what I would like to explore together is, on the one hand, how they created a Masechet of Talmud when you're a new Mishnayot. And through that, to try to explore what is Hanukkah in the eyes of the Gemara, and hopefully, if we have time, also address the way the Rambam organized Hilchot Hanukkah in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam, which reflects a little different process. Now I want to start with the location. Why is Chanukah in Masechet Shabbat? Why is it there? So the obvious answer is true, thank you, that since the second chapter in Masechet Shabbat addresses Ner Shabbat, Bamei Madlikim Uvamayim Madlikim, so the Gemara uses that opportunity to discuss Nerot Chanukah in relationship to Nerot Shabbat. In other words, Nerot Chanukah are formulated, their laws are explored, not independently, but in regard to Ner Shabbat. And I would really say this, it's a mistake. It's not Masechet Chanukah, it's Masechet Nerot Chanukah or Ner Chanukah. That's what I would write as. If I would publish this, I would write Masechet Ner Chanukah. And when we look in this Masechet Ner Chanukah, we see very clearly the heavy presence of Nerot Shabbat as a platform, as a template of a candle, I would say, halachic candle. When the Hamorite discussion relates to another Ner, and it dialogues between the two of them. The other Ner is Ner Hamikdash. We have more than one halachic candle, which is prior to Ner Chanukah. On the one hand, we have Ner Shabbat. On the other hand, we have Ner Chanukah. And the opening of the tractate very clearly presents it. Most people mistakenly start the tractate from the wrong place. They start from the first statement, which is in the Masechet Shabbat, on Nerot Chanukah. And if you look at the pages, I have photocopied for you. I put all Masechet Chanukah in here. Most people start from line 10. That is the first statement regarding Nerot Chanukah. Amar Avuna, P'tilot u'shmanim she'amru chachamim hem madlikim bahem b'Shabbat, hem madlikim bahem b'Chanukah. Meaning, a halachic discussion, if the limitations the Mishnah has on which wheels and which wicks we can use, thank you, wicks we can use for Nerot Shabbat, is the same applied to Nerot Chanukah. Now, once in the Rav Shir, he quoted something from Bamei Madlikim, and he asked one of the boys in the Shir to quote the Mishnah. And he didn't know, he couldn't quote it. He said to him, you say it every Friday night, how can't you quote it? He said, I daven Nusach Sard. So he said, okay, he said, take a daven by heart. If you honestly realize, he didn't know the daven either, okay? So, the Mishnayot and Shabbat, the form of discussion, what candle to use for Ner Shabbat, and many people start the tractate of Chanukah from that statement comparing Ner Chanukah to Ner Shabbat. What I would suggest, and the editors of this edition also thought so, that you have to start a little before. Because the presentation before, the 5-6 lines before, very clearly portray two different models of halachic candles. Amar Abba, I'm reading. P'tilot she'amru chachamim ein madlikim bahem b'Shabbat. That's the reason. B'pnei she'aor mesachsechet bahem. In other words, it doesn't light properly. It's like a fluorescent light which is burning out. You know, if it's a electric light, just it stops working. But a fluorescent light keeps tingling, flickers. It's very not pleasant light. And most people there take out the fluorescent to leave the room. Shmanim shamru chachamim hem madlikim bahem for a similar reason. V'she'en nimshachim achar tpila. They don't light properly. Meaning the reason that a Ner Shabbat, I cannot use them, is because it doesn't give an effective light. A pleasant light to sit by it. Tzmei rami barchama. Ptirot nishmanim shamru chachamim hem madlikim bahem b'Shabbat. Hem madlikim bahem b'Mikdash. Nerot Mikdash, you can also not use the same p'tilot u'shmanim, but for a different reason. What's the reason? Shum sheneemar lehalot ner tamid. Hu tanila, ramala. He explains himself. What's the explanation? Kedei sheteh shalhevet ola me'ileha, v'lo sheteh ola ledei davar acher. In other words, the problem is not that the light is not pleasant. The problem is different. In the process of lighting the candle, when you light the candle, instead of it being lit easily and shalhevet ola me'ileha, takes time until the flame lights itself. Well, in other words, what the Gemara is really presenting over here is two different candles with the same laws, but the different explanations reflect the essence, the different essence of these two candles. Because Ner Shabbat is a candle which is lit in order to use the light. It's a candle that we light in order so human beings will sit next to the light and enjoy the light. If it's Onik Shabbat, or Kvod Shabbat, or Shlom Bayit, it doesn't matter what the reason is, we want the room to be lit. On the other hand, Nerot HaMikdash, as the Gemara says later on in Daf Chav Bet, that God needs light inside the temple because otherwise he won't see his way around the room. Nerot HaMikdash are not candles which are aimed, which are focused at giving light. They're symbolic candles. They're aimed not at making the room lit, but they're aimed at a different goal, and that is to reflect the light of the Shekhinah. The Gemara says, if you want to see it, you can see it too. It's on the third page, okay? It's on line 118. וכי הוא הוראו צריך בעבור כל 40 שנה שהלכו בני ישראל במדבר לא הלכו להוראו. God likes the world, but he needs us to light a candle so he should have light. אלא in duty שהשכינה שורה בישראל. So we have one candle which is a candle to enjoy its light, to light the room, and a second candle which is an edut, symbolic candle. And we have this in our lives too. A Yahrzeit Licht is symbolic. Nobody lights a Yahrzeit Licht in order to lit the room. I'll say more than that, that today in our rooms, which when we have electricity, when we light the Shabbat candles, we also see them in some ritual way, because nobody lights these Shabbat candles today to give light in the room, because we have electricity. And the tension between them, I won't discuss here. But it's very clear that in the beginning of the presentation of Nerot Chanukah, the Gemara makes a point before that to make a presentation of two candles. One candle is Ner Shabbat, and the other candle is Ner HaMikdash. Ner Shabbat is the concept of a candle which is to light up the room, and Ner Chanukah is a candle, Ner HaMikdash, I'm sorry, okay, I almost ruined my shiur, yeah. Ner HaMikdash is a candle which is symbolic. A duty with the Aram, and the different explanations that the Gemara gives reflects the difference between them. One is Ha'ur Mesachsechet Ba'en, it's not a pleasant light, and the other explanation is don't light it properly. And after this presentation of these two candles, and they very clearly they go through the three Dapim in the Gemara, through all of them, these two candles, we have a great surprise. The truth is, we don't start with a surprise. We start with a miracle. But if you would look for a moment at the structure of the sugya, the first statement in the Gemara is made by Rav Huna, which later on Rav disputes. In line 15, Rav disagrees with Rav Huna. If you're familiar with the chronology of the Amoraim, you perhaps would know that Rav is before Rav Huna. In the presentation, it was not chronologically, but the redactor of the tractate is building the topic. And once I know that you have limitations, halachic restrictions on Ner Shabbat, the same restrictions on Ner Chanukah, on Ner Mikdash, what would you expect the halacha, the law should be by Ner Chanukah? Similar. If Shabbat no and Mikdash no, why should Chanukah be yes? And that's Rav Huna's statement. No surprises here. Amar Rav Huna, I'm reading. Ftirot ishmanim shamru chachamim, ein madlikim behen b'shabbat. I want to add, ein madlikim behen also b'mikdash. Pretty obvious. Makes sense, right? Ein madlikim behen b'chanukah. I think that once you know that there's no, I would say, precedence of any halachic candle which you're allowed to light it as you wish, no limitations on the oils and wicks, I would say the same on Chanukah. The surprise comes, I'm skipping a little, when you skip to line 15, when Rav reverses this. אמר רבי זרע, אמר רב מתנה, ואמרי לה, אמר רבי זרע, אמר רב, פתילות ושמנים שאמרו חכמים, אין מדליקים בהם בשבת, again I'm adding, ואין מדליקים בהם במקדש, but, what does he say? מדליקים בהם בחנוכה. בין בחור, בין בשבת. בין בחור, בין בשבת. When we hear, what do we basically see in the, I would say, this opening of the tractate? That on the one hand, we are told there are two halacha candles, and we're trying to explore which one of them is near Chanukah. But I would say the Rav statement is a surprising statement, that near Chanukah, the truth is, it's neither. It's independent. On the one hand, and I will show you soon, the tractate goes through them. On the other hand, it's independent, it's different. Apparently it's different than Ner Shabbat, it's different than Ner HaMikdash. Now if you look in the reasoning, the explanations that the Gemara gives, you can see very clearly in the text. Because the Gemara systematically gives two explanations. Let's go back now to Ravuna. Ravuna says, you're not allowed to light. They wrote Chanukah, but those wicks and oils you cannot light with them, they wrote Shabbat and Mikdash. Look what he says. Amar Rav, Amar Taima de Ravuna. One of the basic characteristics of tractate Chanukah is it's full of the word my Tama. And there's a very simple reason for it. Because since there's no organized, systematic discussion in the Mishnah, so when you want to organize a topic, what do? Do a lot of Svara, a lot of my Tama. Meaning, makes sense. As I would add, another story about the Rav. Once the Rav in Shir said some statement, and one of the students kept bugging him, What's your source? After the Rav ignored him a few times, he lost his patience with him. He looked him with his eyes and he said, from a clear and logical mind. And tractate Chanukah is full of clear and logical minds. And you can see that even logical minds can reach different conclusions. But in the tractate, it's full of my time, my time, my time, my time. And the Gemara over here says, Amarava, my time of the Ravuna. So look at the double reasoning. Kasava kaftaza kukla. Umutar lishtamesh le'aram, in line 12. Okay? Look at Rav. The Gemara says, Amar Abiyumi, Amar Taime Barav, Kasava Kafta en Zakukla, ve Afur lishtamesh le'aram. In between, I skipped, we have Rav Chisda, what does Rav Chisda say? Madlikim ben Bechor ve'lo Shabbat. And what's the explanation? Now these two reasons, the double reasoning, each one has to address. If it seems in the Gemara that one is Sechol and one is for Shabbat. That's why you need double reasoning. But Tosfot, they already pointed out that by Rav Huna you don't need the double reasoning. Because once you say that Kaftar Zakukla, so there should be no reason to have a difference between Shabbat and Chol. And I would like to suggest that double reasoning is not only to explain Chol and Shabbat, it's dialoguing with the two candles. Because Mutar Asur Lishtamesh Torah is dialoguing with which candle? Ner Shabbat Mutar Lishtamesh Torah, right? And Nerot HaMikdash Asur Lishtamesh Torah. Kafta Zakukla, Kafta En Zakukla, by Ner Shabbat, what do you think? Kafta Zakukla or En Zakukla? Huh? Well, it's a problem. You know, so we light the candle on Shabbat. So I would say that in Ner Shabbat, Kafta Ein Zakukla. What about Ner HaMikdash? Ner HaMikdash, Zakukla or Ein Zakukla? What do you say? Huh? Well, it might depend upon a question. If we have time, I'll address later. What's the mitzvah in Mikdash? In Mikdash, the mitzvah is to light the candle. In Mikdash, the mitzvah is to have the candle lit. Meanwhile, when you come in the morning and there's enough oil left to light a few more hours. Well, you should know, there's a discussion in the Rambam, I can even imagine the scenario in my eyes. Can a czar, person who's not a Kohen, light the menorah? I can imagine some rich person coming to the Kohen Gadol and saying, I want to light the menorah. I'll give you a few million dollars. I would say in cash, not in stocks. And he says, no problem. But he can't go inside. The Rambam says, you take the menorah out. He likes the menorah. You take it in and put it in. And halachically, it's okay. Explains the Chaim Ibrisk in his book on the Rambam, that the reason is that in Eretz Mikdash, there's no mitzvah to light it. So I would always tell him, don't donate the money, because it's worthless. But the mitzvah is the candle should be lit. Meaning in the Mikdash, you need a candle lit, and I would suggest that these two reasonings are not only Chol Shabbat, but they're doing something else. Through Chol Shabbat, and these two reasons, we're dialoguing with the two candles. Because on the one hand, when I light Ner Chanukah on Shabbat, I would like to achieve maybe both candles with one candle. Meaning maybe I can have Ner Shabbat and Ner Chanukah with the same candle. Two for one, as they say in business. And on Chol, it's definitely not so. So the Ner Chanukah on Chol is more independent than on Shabbat. And the Gemara is exploring, on the one hand, what is the nature of this candle? When let's listen to the reasonings. If I say, Mutar Asur Ishtamesh Lora, basically what question am I asking? Symbolic or not? Because Asur Ishtamesh Lora is the best way to make a statement this candle is symbolic. You can't use its light. I can tell you that my in-laws are Polish. They're not, I'm from the Lutzer family, as you know. They're Polish. And when they have a yahrzeit, not a yahrzeit, when they say yitzkor, they light a yahrzeit list for each person they mention his name, and they don't use the light of those candles, meaning it's like Ner HaMikdash. It's symbolic. Once you use the light, you like desecrate the meaning, the holiness of the candle, because the candle is not symbolic once you use it. And therefore, it's mutar asur l'shtamesh b'ra, I'm really declaring the nature of the candle. And Kaftaz Zakukla and Zakukla, I'm addressing the question, is the essence of the candle in symbolic lighting, or it's being lit? And the Gemara over here, in the opening, I'm summarizing, the Gemara on the one hand portrays that there are two halacha candles, and the Gemara is checking, Ramaraim are dialoguing, what is near Chanukah? Ravuna says it's like them. And therefore Ravuna says that, I would say, Kaftaz Zakukla, no, Ravuna says like one of them. It's a Kaftaz Zakukla Mutar Lishtamesh Lora is closer to Ner Shabbat, and therefore, it's like Shabbat. Rav Chisdara says, Madikime Bechor of Allah Shabbat, he's closer to that too. Rav is the one who declared the independence of Ner Chanukah by declaring that it's different than both of them. And the Gemara, through the tractate now, is trying to explore, so what is it? There's a declaration of independence of Ner Chanukah on the first 15 lines of tractate Chanukah. And now the Gemara will ask itself, so what is it? And even though Rav declares independence, the Gemara still pays a lot of attention to exploring what is Ner Chanukah through comparing it still to Nerot Shabbat and especially Ner HaMikdash. And if we try to see how do they build the discussion, so I will describe now characteristics. I won't read the content now. On the one hand, Amoraim always build their discussion through relating to Tannaitic sources. And therefore, you won't be surprised that Tractate Chanukah starts with quotes of Baraitot. On line 33, Tanur Rabbanan, the basic Baraita everybody is familiar with, Mitzvat Chanukah Ner Yishuv Beito. Later on, there's a discussion on that. We have in the second Braita. Tanur Havana, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah L'Anicha Petach Beito Mi Bachutz. A third Braita, Mai Chanukah, line 55. Everybody knows this. Tanur Havana, the Cafe de Kislev. This is a Braita from Masechet Tanit. And the last Tanaitic source, it's Tznanatam, the Mishnah in Masechet Baba Kama, mentioning Nerot Chanukah. Or in other words, after the intro, after the first presentation of the dilemma, what is Ner Chanukah, independent or like the other halachic Nerot, the Gemara brings four Tanaitic sources which discuss Nerot Chanukah, and through them, the Gemara develops short discussions related to the topics which appear in them. One of them explains what Chanukah is all about. My Chanukah, the Braita of Masechet Masechet Sofrim. Before that, the Gemara discusses how many candles. The Gemara discusses where to light it, and it really appears the secret. Because where do you light near Chanukah? I would say a little differently. Let's go through the brayta. First brayta says how many candles. How many candles do you need to make light? One. Well, it's like taking a 40 watt, you know. One makes, a little light, but a lot make a lot of light. So maybe you need a lot of candles in order to make more light. On the other hand, one makes light. If you take two, what does that mean? Then maybe it's symbolic. In the Mikdash, how many candles did they have? They had seven. So maybe more candles reflects more symbolism. We don't know. That's the first discussion. The second brayta discusses where, when the moment I say you put your candle out of your house, that I would say it's like declaring that the candle is not lit in order to give light in the house at least. Ne'er Shabbat, you light in your house. Ne'er Chanukah, you light outside. So Ner Chanukah, we know, we're starting to realize that Ner Chanukah is different than Nerot Shabbat from the location where you light the candles. The Gemara later on, regarding to Tzanatam, the Mishnah in Masechet Baba Kama, the Gemara relates to another halachic issue when it's continuing to build the independent character of Ner Chanukah, because you light it outside, but at what height? So the Gemara says in line 68, Amar Avina, Mishmei Derava, Zot Omeret. What does Zot Omeret mean? Since there are very few sources of the Tanaim regarding to Chanukah, so what does he do? He squeezes them like a lemon. Meaning, you quote me one source, and now I'm trying to learn another law which is not declared explicitly, but I can derive it if I read the text carefully. What does he learn? Ner Chanukah mitzvah la'anicha b'toch asara. What does that mean? What height are you supposed to light it? Until asara tfachim, which means around my waistline. Now what does a candle below your waistline do to you? Not too much light. In other words, it is not aimed, it's not focused towards giving light to the street. A lamppost is usually high up. Then it sheds light on the street. Once you put it low, outside and low, everybody realizes this is something symbolic. Ner Chanukah is out of the house and a height which does not give much light, not much effect, and therefore we realize that Ner Chanukah is a light which is focused, aimed towards some symbolism. Then the Gemara finished now with all the Tanaitic statements regarding Chanukah, and now they start with a series of Memot of Amoraim. What does Memot mean? Statements made by Amoraim regarding Ner Chanukah. What happened over here?
He warned me, it might go to my beard. Okay.
Try again? David, you want to help me? Okay. Yeah. What do you mean, Gufo Shel Mitzvah? Okay, but I'm lighting the light for a certain purpose, which is not to, it's not functional, it's not aimed in towards helping me doing something else, but the light itself is saying something. That's what I mean, symbolic light. Okay? I accept. I think we're saying something very similar. Then if I look at the Gemara here, I don't like this. Okay? The Gemara says, there's a few memorot, and let's continue to Rav Kahana. Let's see the way they develop the topic. What does Rav Kahana say? Barash of Natan Barman Yumi Mishmei Barabi Tanchum Ner Chanukah Sheinichah Lamala Me'Esrim Amah Psula Kesukah Kemavoy. There's a law in Masechet Sukkah. It's Machloket Tanaim. Can you build your Sukkah higher than 20 Amot, which is around 10 meters height? Now, the Gemara in Sukkah has a few explanations. When only one of them fits the statement over here of Rav Tanchum. That is, that whatever is above 20 amot, your eye does not grasp, doesn't catch. And the assumption in Sukkah is that you have to see the schach. And in Eruvin, where you put a koral, you put a, like a sign, telling people, symbolically, this is Shitufei Mavot, so you want them to see it. In other words, when you make a statement, it's always Svara, I told you, when there are no sources, you use your logical mind. When you make a statement that, Ner Chanukah Shinichal Lamala Mesulam Apsula Kesukah, what am I really saying? The Ner Chanukah, after I told you where it has to be, what am I telling you? That has to be looked at, has to be seen by people walking on the street. That's the meaning of this statement. When the Gemara continues, that you have to put it next to your Amar Rabbah, another statement of Rabbah, full of Amoraic statements, I told you. Ner Chanukah Mitzvah La'anichah B'tefach HaSmucha LaPetach. And now it goes together with, who is his partner? Mezuzah. What is mezuzah? Something symbolic. When I enter my house, the mezuzah tells me a story. What does it tell me? So some people think, or thought, that it's in order to protect my house. The Rambam says, whoever thinks so, engel chedek l'olam haba. It's a statement of faith. I declare on the entrance to my house that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Lord of the world. And Ner Chanukah is similar to mezuzah over here. And then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara brings the following statement: Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, Asur Alzot Maot Keneged Ner Chanukah. Now we don't have the time here to explore the relationship between this statement and the previous Gemara about Mutar Asur Lishtamesh Leorah. But the Gemara here is making a statement, Rav Asi or Rav, that you're not allowed to use the light of Ner Chanukah. If you ask me why do we use the Artot Maot, it's for a simple reason. Where is the candle? Outside, not in the house. So nobody stands in December outside reading a book with Ner Chanukah. Your head should be examined. What do? You check your change, you know, because you're out in the street. Remember the Mishnah Masechet Baba Kama, the Chenvani, the store owner, put the Ner Chanukah at the entrance to his store. So a guy going into the store, coming out, checks his change. But he makes a statement that you're not allowed to use the candle. And look at the conceptual understanding that Shmuel had of this. Ki amrita kamei b'Shmuel amali, v'chi ner k'dusha yesh ba. What was Shmuel's response? Where do you take that from? K'dusha yesh ba is a very clear hint to Nirot HaMikdash. To Nirot HaMikdash. V'chi ner k'dusha yesh ba. Meaning Shmuel rejects that, but he very clearly understood that that is the essence of Rav Asi's statement. And I'll just point out that even though this explanation is rejected, we do make such a statement every time we light our candles, because after we light the candles, we say, Amirot halalu, kodeshein, ve'en lanu reshut lishtamesh ba'em, ela li'otam bilvad, meaning even though the Gemara, Shmuel, seems to totally reject this possibility, and the Gemara explains Rav Asi in a different way, the text of Hanirot Alalu, which appears in Masechet Sofrim, which is a Gaonic text from around 9th century, not too clear exactly when it was exactly redacted, but around 9th century in Eretz Yisrael, and which was adapted by us, very clearly does retain that understanding. The Ner Kedusha Yesh Po, and therefore, Ein Lanu Reshut Lishtamesh Bahem Ela Lirotam Be'Erad. Later on, the Gemara continues with Itmar, which is a I skip now to line 97, which is a statement of Amoraim, and something very characteristic here. The Gemara brings two statements of Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar en madikim miner lener, meaning you cannot use your candle as a potential light to light another candle. In other words, you light each candle separately. Shmuel Amar madikim. The Gemara has two explanations later for Rav. I'm repeating. Since there are no sources, the source is a clear and logical mind. So, line 105. Yativ rahu mirabanan kamei deravada barava v'yativ ekama. One of the students in the yeshiva, what did he say? Tama derav mishum bizui mitzvah. It's not nice to use a ner of mitzvah as a match. Amalu la tatzitule. You're wrong. You're taking away from the candle when you light from it, when obviously they didn't have our candles, they had oil candles. And the Gemara asked itself, my benayo, ika benayo, the kamadlik mishraga, the shraga, when you light from candle to candle without a middleman, without a middle candle which you transfer it. But you see clearly how, on the one hand, the Gemara has in its mind mikdash, and a lot of statements by Amoraim, a lot of my timer, and machlokot what the time is, when, during this discussion, the Gemara quotes, it's from line 1 to 17 on, the Gemara quotes, it brings Rav Sheshet quoting, Nerot HaMikdash, could you light a Nerot HaMikdash, one candle from the other candle? Or in other words, during the discussion of Madukim Miner Lener, what is the Gemara exploring? What was the law in Beit HaMikdash? And based upon that, let's decide what should we what should the halacha be regarding Nerot Chanukah. But eventually, how does the Gemara answer it? My Havi Allah, the Gemara asks in line 1, 27. So look at this amazing decision. My Havi Allah. What is the law? Amar Avuna, Breda Ravi Yoshua. Look at his explanation. Chazina. Let's check. Let's see. Iyad lakar sa mitzvah, if the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to light it, madikim min er l'ner. I hanachar sa mitzvah, if the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to put it on at the next to the door, but not to light it, and madikim min er l'ner. In other words, how do we decide eventually if madikim min er l'ner or not? Not through any sources, but through our conceptual understanding of Ner Chanukah. Is it madlikim hadlaka osa mitzvah or possibly hanacha osa mitzvah? It's through the understanding of the concept, not through sources. And the Gemara now explains, what is this ibay alahu? They had a safek. Why do they have a safek? Because they're developing their Chanukah through their understanding of the concept of Chanukah, and therefore it's full of questions. Today we call it a chakira. Okay, they're asking themselves, what is the essence of Ner Chanukah? What is the question? Hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah? And here the Gemara's structure is like fascinating. The Gemara brings tashma, tashma, tashma. What is that in the Talmudic sugya? Proofs. Tashma means come and listen. I'll show you. Now usually after a tashma, usually brought or a mishnah or a braita. Usually. Because they're authoritative within the Amorah discussion. But look at the Tashmas over here in Masechet Chanukah. First Tashma is Damar Rava. Second Tashma is Damar Rava. Third Tashma is Damar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Three statements made by Amoraim. There are no Tanaitic sources to give us a clue if Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah or possibly Hanacha Osa Mitzvah. And therefore we explore them through statements made by Amoraim, which all these statements, they reflect not authority, but they reflect the understanding of those who said these statements, their understanding of the logic of Ner Chanukah. Should Ner Chanukah be Hadlaka or Hanacha? Now, the Gemara eventually, how does the Gemara decide? So the Gemara says, the earth will become a Varchina, and Asher Kishan Mitutar Etzimanu. And how do I know the Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah? From the bracha, from life, the way we relate to Nerot Chanukah. That's how I know what Ner Chanukah is. And the Gemara closes the discussion with Shema Amina. Now, we would better understand the discussion here if we could relate to an issue not discussed in the Gemara here. Yes, please. Yeah. Are you so sure we make a bracha on Shabbat in the time of the Gemara? You're touching a very delicate question. The bracha of Ner Shabbat only is recorded first in Gaonic literature. When there's still a machloket in the time of Balei HaTosafot, should you make a bracha on Ner Shabbat? Now I'd like to explain what the machloket is. Ner Shabbat seems to be rooted in the concept of Kvod Shabbat. Now, Kvod Shabbat includes also to wash the floors, to set the table, to change your clothing, to shower, to bathe before Shabbat. Do you make a bracha before you wash the floor in your house? You do? Do you make a bracha before? Do you make a bracha before you set the table? I never heard of such a bracha. So comes Rabbeinu Meshulam. He's a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, "So I make a bracha before I light a candle. The whole goal of Ner Shabbat is it should be light in the house. So I make a bracha. We have more than that. I mentioned before that we use electricity today. Do you know anybody who, before he lights electricity, makes a bracha? Why? Because in our eyes, there's nothing ritual about it. To some extent, the bracha on Ner Shabbat is very unique, and conceptually it's not so clear that there's an halachic action of lighting the candle. There's mitzvah drabanan, the house should be lit. Who says there's mitzvah drabanan? To light the candle. So it's machlok between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Meshulam. It's very common among scholars to assume that there may be something polemic about this bracha, and that's aimed against the Karaites, who thought you're not allowed to have any candles, any light lit in your house. They interpreted lots of avu esh b'chol moshvotichem, there should be no lit esh in the houses. And many think, and lately my uncle, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, published an essay on Mishneh Torah where he claims that even in Hilchot Shabbat and Mishneh Torah there's something polemic, which is anti-Karaite, and that is that the bracha is to emphasize clearly, explicitly, you're supposed to light a candle for Shabbat. I don't know if it's so convincing, all the idea, but definitely doesn't appear in the Gemara any place to make a bracha near Shabbat. That's why we cannot use the bracha of Ner Shabbat to learn about it. We do know that Ner Chanukah had a bracha in the time of the Gemara. That we do know. But it's not too clear what was the bracha on Ner Shabbat. And I would just add that we should explore, and I won't do it now because it would take us out of the structure of Shabbat, out of our time framework. What happens? What's the concept of Mikdash? What? I don't know. But I would ask if Mikdash is the essence of the mitzvah hadlaka or hanacha. So before I quoted to you the Rambam that the mitzvah in Mikdash is hanacha. And if that's the case, I would try to explore what's the mitzvah of Shabbat relating to your question. Is Shabbat hadlaka or is Shabbat hanacha? And I would just add that the Mishnah keeps saying Bamei Madlikim, Bamei Madlikim, Bamei Madlikim. I would like to think, I can't clearly prove it, that Hadlaka Osam Mitzvah, Hanacha Osam Mitzvah is basically relating on the one hand to Ner Shabbat, which resembles more Hadlaka Osam Mitzvah, while Ner HaMikdash is more Hanacha Osam Mitzvah. What? It's Kabbalah Shabbos. And then you're right. Then the Hadlaka is a Maisa Mitzvah, okay? So, but in any case, I would, yes, please. Now, the Cholek on that too? I don't remember. I mean, if you want the Machlok, it appears in Tosfot and Shabbat, Kafei Amud Bet. It appears also in Sefer HaYashar, Chelek Hashut, Simanim, Memvav, Memzayin, Nuchet. But I don't remember if they relate to Shabbat, to Yom Tov and Yom Kippur too. The light of Yom Kippur is discussed in Gemara and Psachim from a different angle. If we want light in the house in Yom Kippur, because of the Nuhim of Yom Kippurim. But let's try to conclude, because the time is against us, that I would try to summarize that you can see in this collection of discussions on Chanukah and the Gemara, you can see how they build a topic. On the one hand, I'm repeating, they quoted all the sources from the Tanaim that they were available, and they started with them, 3 brachos and 1 Mishnah. On the other hand, they looked for conceptual models. That's what they did. They looked like briskers. Conceptual models. And they found one model with Ner Shabbat, and one model with Ner HaMikdash. One model of light to be used by humans, and one model of Nerot, of a Ner which is aimed towards symbolism. It's a symbolic light. Conceptually, they took them. They already have sets of laws that both have. And therefore they're exploring that the same laws apply to Ner Chanukah. The unit is full of Memrot of Amoraim, which are based upon Svara. The word Taima, 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 Taima keeps repeating itself. It has Chakirat, Chakiris, as we say. Ibayalu, Ibayalu. They're busy asking themselves, what is it, what is it, what is it? When later on in the retracted, I would just point out, the Ner Shabbat continues to appear. Ner HaMikdash was the scenario here. But Nerot Shabbat continued to appear. I would add that some of the statements in the Gemara was machloket among the Rishonim, which Ner are they discussing? Are they discussing Shabbat or Chanukah? I'll show it to you. If you want to see a little more of the Outbird, line 180, Stibud of Ravuna, Chatzor Sheyesh La, Shnei Ptachim, Tarich Shtei Nerot. If you have two entrances to your houses from two different angles, each one needs a Ner. My timer. Again, why does the Gemara work? What's the source for the Halacha in Masechet Chanukah? My timer. Explain it to me, not through a source, because they don't exist. Explain it to me through logic, through Svara. Later on, the Gemara says, look at Rava. Rava presents a Chakira. Look at the Chakira. Ner Beito v'ner Chanukah. Ner Beito Adif Mishom Shlom Beito. Ner Beito means Ner Shabbat. And if there's a clash between these two candles, I know what comes first. What is that? Ner. Ner Beito v'kiddush Hayom. Ner Beito Adif, why? Shalom Bayit. In other words, Ner Beito is the concept of Shalom Bayit. It always overrules anything else. Now look at this question. You know a little math, right? Meaning Ner Beito is bigger than Ner Chanukah, Ner Beito is bigger than Kiddush Hayom. But what doesn't Rava know? What about the relationship between Ner Chanukah and Kiddush Rava? Another Chakira here. Later on, look, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna, Ragil b'ner, Avir man b'din tamidei chachamim." Which ner, do you know? Who said that? Who told you? Who told you? Skip the next page. Devitu b'Rav Yosef, havat ma'acha umad b'kalei. She would light her candles too late. Which candle? Anir Shabbat. Maybe ner. Chanukah, machloket rishonim, meaning it's not always it's line in 219. Rav Yosef's wife would light the candles very late. Very late. It's not always clear which candle they're talking about. The one thing that is clear over here, and that is that the topic is developed systematically by the Moraim in, as I mentioned, Masechet Ner Chanukah, the tractate of Ner Chanukah. While quoting all possible sources they had available in Tanaim, a lot of Memrot of Amoraim, which are all based upon logic, Svara, and a lot of Chakirot, when in the background all the time are two candles. Ner Shabbat, which is for light, Ner HaMikdash, which is symbolic, when eventually what the Gemara is developing is a third independent candle. The candle which is lit out of your house, which is a machloket, can you use its light or not? A candle which is aimed towards others seeing it, and in that it's, on the one hand, it's similar to Ner HaMikdash, because Ner HaMikdash is symbolic. Out of the house means, Asur Ishtamesh Lo'ah means, not Shabbat. On the other hand, Ner HaMikdash is not aimed at anybody seeing it, because where they light Nerot HaMikdash? Inside the Heichal. And therefore, it's being outside really makes it different than Nerot HaMikdash, and the secret, so what is Ner Chanukah, comes from the statement of Rava, which I have mentioned before, and the secret is revealed, let me just find it, too many pages here, okay? Where is it? No, I missed it just a moment. 160. Here it is. The secret is revealed back in line 205. Because what is Rava doing in Chakira here? Rava the Brisker, what is he doing? He's telling us the essence of these halachic concepts. And what is the essence of Ner Chanukah? Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa. To make a miracle Public. Public. Ner Chanukah is aimed at something which is totally different than Mikdash and totally different than Shabbat. Shabbat is internalizing it into your houses. These are used to the idea, since we, most of us, light our Nerot Chanukah inside the house. The Ner Chanukah is a hamish thing. All the kids play dreidlach next to the Ner Chanukah, right? But the Ner Chanukah is supposed to be lit outside. And I would say that part of coming back to Eretz Yisrael is that many people now do it. They light outside. You can buy these aquariums, which you, to make sure that the candles won't go out by won't be blown out by the wind. And Ner Chanukah is totally different than Ner Shabbat. Ner Shabbat is family Ner. It makes coziness in the house. It's intimacy of the family. And Ner Chanukah is a public sign. It's out of your house. It's in the entrance of your house. It's talking not to the people of the house, but to the people out of the house. I would say it's a statement, it's a declaration of my house to people who are not part of my household. And that is very, very different than Ner Shabbat. It sounds very close to Ner HaMikdash. On the other hand, Ner HaMikdash, we quoted before, was lit inside too. Because Ner HaMikdash is not aimed to people to see it. The Ner HaMikdash's focus and aim is at symbolism inside God's house, that God is present. Eduti v'Yisrael sha'ashchinah shorah v'ba'el olam sha'ashchinah shorah v'Yisrael, meaning the light which is inside God's house is a reflection of God's presence, but nobody is supposed to see it. The curtains are sealed, are closed. It's the intimacy between God and Israel. But Ner Chanukah, which is a symbolic light on the one hand, has to be seen by human beings, by people. And therefore it is an independent candle. It's an independent candle which has to be, on the one hand, take symbolic features from the Eretz HaMikdash, don't use its light. On the other hand, it is not like Ner HaMikdash, and therefore, for example, I'll go back to Rav's statement, what's important is the fact there's a candle. We don't expect it Sheshal Hevet Te'olam Eileh. We're not expecting it to show that it's a fancy candle. That it's lit clearly. That goal is not necessary here. We just want people to see some light. It can be even like those fluorescent lamps, okay, that don't light too well. But as long as people are, they receive the message. And this is the platform of Ner Chanukah. It's being a Pesume Nisa, which gives it its independence. When I would basically say the following. Chachamim were aware of the idea that I want to light the candle for a different focus, a different goal, a different aim than the other candles. On the other hand, they did dialogue with the other candles in order to formulate clearly what is Ner Chanukah. And where do they take the concept of Pesume Nisa from? From Purim. Correct. I would explain a little more why Purim was necessary here. What's behind this formulation of Chanukah? We have to realize that the Torah is full of Chagim, holidays. But the Torah, when it attributes the content of a Chag, it has one major character of the Yom Tov which does not apply to Purim and Chanukah. And that is Mikra Kodesh. When Mikra Kodesh always goes together with two things in the Torah. One is a korban, v'kavtem yishel Hashem, always, in Vayikrach al Gimel, and the second is Yisur Melacha. While Purim and Chanukah, which are both midrabanan, they do not have a korban, and they also do not have any Yisur Melacha. When you should know that regarding Purim, that's a machloket in the Gemara, in Masechet Megillah, Daf Hei. The Megillah describes Purim as Yom Tov. What does Yom Tov mean? It would seem Yisur Melacha, and there is such an opinion in the Gemara there. Well, the Gemara refutes it. Very, 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 very insists there's no such character of Purim. And the Gemara also there, it brings a very interesting story. The Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, would plant trees on Purim. Not Tu Bishvat, but on Purim. And why would he do that? I would say it's very clear. He would make a halachic demonstration. You know, sometimes you want to demonstrate some halachic ruling to refute somebody, fully quoted, maybe the possibility that the bracha of Ner Shabbat. I have to tell you, as a child, I was told that you have to eat the brachs on Pesach. That Reb Chaim Brisker, you should know that on Pesach night, he would dip his matzah in his soup to show that the minig of the brachs is the minig shtus. I mean, you demonstrate, he doesn't dip it because he likes to eat matzah farfel. He says, no, I know Shkebim Baraka, no noodles. But because you want to show everybody that you don't belong to the camp of those who don't eat gebrach. When Rabbi plants a tree, you plant a tree publicly. He demonstrated, Purim is no Yisroel Melacha. It's being a Yom Tov is reflected through something else. Mishteh v'simcha, and not through Yisroel Melacha. But Purim functions for Hanukkah as an additional template. You know, when Chazal asked themselves, what should Hanukkah be? So they already had the template of Purim. Because Purim has two things which Hanukkah lacked. A, it's prior in time. And B, which is more important, biblical. Purim is in the Bible. It's a biblical text. And even though there is no nevuah in Megillat Esther, the clear statement of Mordechai HaYehudi in Megillat Esther, there's no nevuah, is when he tries to explain to himself how to fight Haman, and maybe Esther becoming the queen is the way to fight Haman. He says, "We are there in the Et Kazot Igat LaMalchut." The prophet knows. He's not told. He doesn't know. He's suggesting, "We are there." He dialed, right? "We are there in the Et Kazot Igat LaMalchut." And when Purim is formulated, it's a biblical chag, was created a template, how to celebrate a miracle, how to celebrate a victory, how to celebrate the Jewish people surviving. And when Chachamim tried to formulate Chanukah, they basically created, they put together three templates. Purim taught them, how do you create such a day? Such a day's essence and content is not Mikra Kodesh, is not Yisur Malacha, it's like Purim. Pesumei Nisa, because Megillat Esther, what is it? What's the character of Megillat Esther? Publicly, you tell the story of the Megillah. But that they took from a very clear place too. They took it from Pesach. What is Pesach? A miracle happened to the Jewish people. They are formed as a nation. Yitziat Mitzrayim, he got the Labincha. Purim is, you tell others. We see that also in Sefer Yoshua. After Yoshua, he passes the Jordan River, which is stopped. He builds 12 stones. It's a memorial to tell next generations about the miracle of crossing the Jordan River. In other words, a miracle requires not to make it a personal experience, but to tell others. You have to share it with others. You have to tell them about it. So it's clear that the central content of a Chag de Rabbanan related to Anes is the mitzvah of Pesumei Nisa. So Chanukah includes within itself Pesumei Nisa. But while by Purim we have a biblical text to read out loud, we have the Megillah, we don't have any such text on Chanukah. And to read Sefer Chashmonaim, apparently they didn't want, okay? Yeah, so first of all, there are a few of them, so you have to choose, you know. Chashmonaim Aleph, Chashmonaim, they didn't want to do it, it's not part of the Bible. It's, the Bible is sealed, and it's not part of it. And here Chachamim made a choice, and the Mishnah says it in one Mishnah, Ner Chanukah, through a candle. A candle on the street, which other people will see. And if I mentioned before the Minhag of Hanerot Halal, we explain when we light the candle, we explain what the candle is about. Because candles can't explain themselves. But this was the choice of Chachamim, the choice of Pesumei Nisa. While since it's through a candle, they try to explore more explicitly, more clearly, what is this candle, while they dialogue with the two known candles, which were Ner Shabbat and Ner Mikdash. But eventually what Chachamim developed is a candle which is Pesumei Nisa, a candle lit on the street, a candle which is put in a height which doesn't give any light, but people see it, a candle which tells people, look at it, recognize the miracle that God has done to Israel, a candle of Pesume Nisa, which is independent. Yes, please. Okay, so we're going to conclude this year, okay, your question about Hallel. And that takes me to the Rambam, which I mentioned that I may touch. The Rambam, it's in the last page of the sheets that I gave you. The Rambam in the introduction to Mishneh Torah, the Rambam asks over there, why don't mitzvot de Rabbanan have the Isur of lo tosif al Torah, meaning Chachamim added mitzvot? Well, the Rambam answers very simply is, but if Chachamim would claim that they were given by God more mitzvot, so that is lo tosif. But if Chachamim says Rabbanan, that's within their authority. Meaning Chanukah and Purim are presented as Rabbanan, and now I will take you back to that Gemara and Megillah. That's why it's so important to differentiate between Purim and Yamim Tovim, which are biblical. Meaning, it's to make sure that they did not make another Chag. They made something different, with a different content. And the Rambam, while saying that, he explains, what is Purim all about? This is a very, very important statement. The Rambam says the following, it's on line 296. Elakach anu omrim. We don't think God told us observe Purim. We say something different. Shanivim in Beidin. It's done by Chachamim. Kiknu, v'tzivu, v'kot angira b'onotah. Now why? But look at the way he portrays Purim. This is a template of Chanukah. כדי להזכיר שבחיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא ותשועות שעשה לנו והיה קרוב לשבעינו כדי לברכו ולהללו. This is the חיוב of Hallel. וכדי להודיע לדורות הבאים, what is להודיע לדורות הבאים? פרסומי ניסו, exactly. שאמת מה שהבטיחנו לתורה, כי מי גוי גדול אשר לא אלוקים קרובים אליו, כאשם אלוקינו בכל קוראינו אליו. So Purim, Megillat Esther by the Rambam, is portrayed as having a dual kiyum. It has two achievements. On the one hand, it's levarucho ulehalolo, and the Rambam here is accepting one of the explanations in the Gemara, why is there no halol in Purim? The Gemara says there is. What is the halol? Kriyata zo helila. The Rambam quotes in Chot Halel, in Chot Chanukah. So Purim is a Yom Halel, and what is Purim? A Yom Nehudia LaDorot Abayim, Yom Pesum Anes. This is the essence of Purim, and therefore, what did the Rambam do in Uchot Chanukah? In Purim, the Megillah is both the Halel and both the Pesum Anisa. But in Chanukah, they split. Chanukah, we say Halel, and we light candles. We split them. Halel and Pesum Anisa, he split into two, and that's why the Rambam, he doesn't bring the Chot Chanukah next to Ner Shabbat, like in the Gemara. What did he do? So Chot Megillah v'Chanukah, Chot Megillah, Prakim Aleph Bet, Prakim Gimel Dalet in Chot Chanukah, Perek Gimel is Chot Halel, and Perek Dalet is in Chot Ner Chanukah. Why did he bring the Chot Halel in Chot Megillah v'Chanukah? We have Halel and Yamin Tovim too. Because Halel is the essence of Chanukah and of Purim. They are Yemei Halel by their essence, by their character, by their nature. When the Rambam adds on another statement here, which I think is very, very essential, that I will conclude, the Rambam says that what's the meaning of a miracle? It's not only to be saved. It's more than that. It's a revelation. It's a revelation of God. Because if God does a miracle, He reveals a little curtain among the Esther Panim. You remember that he's present. The Rambam writes it very clearly over here. Kedei laskil shvachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu utshuot she'asah lanu v'ya karov l'shaveinu. It's kirvat Elokim, a miracle. God listened to our prayers. What we're basically pointing out, celebrating, is not the miracle, it's being close to God. And he continues. כדי להודיע לדורות הבאים שאמת מה שהבטיחנו בתורה, כי מי גוי גדול אשר לא אלוקים קרובים אליו, כאשם אלוקינו בכל קוראינו אליו. Purim and Chanukah reflect that even though God is a kel mistater, we don't see him, we live in a time of Esther Panim, but that we are a nation that has a close God to him, כאשם אלוקינו בכל קוראינו אליו. And if God is close to us, We have to share that experiences with others, not leave it to ourselves, but tell others not only about the miracle, but about the intimate relationship between God and Knesset Yisrael. I wish you all a Chanukah Sameach. I wish everybody better economical situation. And I'll see you in 5 weeks. Yes, please.